Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. By the way, be sure and drop us a note or, and this is new, send us a short audio clip telling us what's on your mind, what's going on for the summer, your favorite vacation story, that kind of thing. Just use a smartphone or a digital recorder and send the file, or just a note if you'd rather, to our email address at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Retirement parties are a part of any large organization, but it's not every day when somebody leaves after a 50-year career. That's the case with music professor Erwin Mueller of Ball State University, whose last day was the end of June. We caught up with Dr. Mueller as he was moving out of his office.
I came to school in 48, and the size of the school was small, and the Department of Music was small. I was here 2 years, and then in the fall of 50, the Korean War broke out, and so I went into the Marine Corps. I went to Parris Island and did that stuff there, and then they sent me to a radio school in San Diego, and then I had a choice of either going with the 2nd Marine Division and becoming a radio person in a tank outfit, or I could be sent overseas. Well, I really wanted to go overseas, and so I went to Treasure Island, and then really didn't know where I was going to go, and they sent me to Anglico, Air and Naval Gunfire Liaison Company. And so we were the first one to be reorganized again there, and we lived above the brig. That was our place we stayed at.
Kind of a reminder to be on your best behavior.
That is the truth. And then we finally moved out to an old camp, and then we rebuilt the camp, Camp Catlin. And so that was for 2 years, and I got back, and then came back to school, finished. I met my wife, Barbara, and we weren't engaged yet, but then I went to Northwestern and finished and got a master's degree there. And then sort of our life has been serendipity. Then I came back to Muncie, we got married, and then went down to Chattanooga. And I had an played with the orchestra and opera company there, and also taught a marching band. And my wife taught in elementary school. The thing, I think the salary is interesting to me. I had a master's degree in the service and all that, and my salary was $3,200 a year. Well, no.
Did you realize you were poor?
Oh, no, I didn't think about it. I mean, we were doing what we wanted to do and had a wonderful time doing it. Was down there a couple of years, and I auditioned for the Indianapolis Symphony, and I got a job playing timpani with them. So, but going back to when I came to Ball State, my room rent was $3.50 a week. And the landlady, a wanderful lady, Mrs. Hartley, I wanted an electric clock. So she said, well, I'm going to have to raise your rent. So
for the electricity for the clock?
So it cost me a nickel a week. So it was $3.55 for the rent. And, well, tuition was $30 a quarter, so it cost $90 a year for tuition.
How have the students changed in 50 years?
Well, the students really were sitting at a table with the president at some function, I can't remember what it was, and she asked me the same question. And I said, well, you know, we've always had good students here. I mean, one of my students, Jim Lane, played percussion with the Chicago Symphony. A number of my students are teaching in colleges. So I've had, I think maybe the number of students, of outstanding students, maybe has increased. But we've always had really good students, very capable performers, practicing and all what they need to do, and have a focus of where they wanted to go. So as I told her, I said, well, we've always had good students.
Fair to say that most people who study music, say at the secondary level, or they're not going to go on to become professional performers, yet they get something out of it.
To me, it's the discipline of doing it. The kids get tired of hearing me say, you have to be patient to be persistent. You have to have the patience to be persistent. In other words, do it, do it, and do it, and do it, and keep your thoughts connected to it to make it correct. And I think if you apply that to about anything, then you can really be successful with it, I think. And that's how I think of it. And that's one thing you can learn. I had a student call me, Jimmy Eats from Indianapolis. He called me and said, you know, 50 years ago, I had my first drum lesson with you. I said, okay. And I said, he said, and I'm still playing. His dad had a Triangle Printing Company down there, and so now he's the president or whatever he does. That's his job. But he says, I still play at the church. And I said, I play some gigs with the with bands on Saturday night. He said, I'm still playing music. And so I think that's a great thing, too. You know, whether you make a living of music or make it part of your life. And I think that's what he has done. A lot of people do that. Yes, see, we had our retirement party last Saturday, yeah. And he was down and talked a little bit about that to the people who had come to the thing about he had not followed music as a life career, but he was still making it part of his life, playing in church. Another one of my kids, Chris Pemberton, wonderful drummer. He was a band director for a while, and then he's gone to Texas and gone into computers. And now he's working for a company in computers, but he still plays in church. And they have, many of these large churches have orchestras or bands that really are semi-professional. And they rehearse maybe once or twice a week. And so he still uses music.
That's got to be one of the joys of being a teacher for 50 years, to be contacted by these former students.
Well, you know, the thing, we're for people in the business that we're in, whether it's teaching percussion, harp, piano, whatever, if you're an English teacher, you may only have the student for a semester, maybe two semesters in a class. And we're fortunate enough to have the kids come here. And you might 4 years, 5 years, some have been there 6 years, and you learn to know the family. They come to all the recitals, all the concerts, and you sort of become part of their family in a way, which is very unusual. And that's what the wonderful part of it. You see how they develop and have kids back, like Jimmy Eads 50 years ago, and I've had some other kids who even studied with me longer than that. So it's a very personal thing. It's not, I know in teaching, some people say, well, I remember my third grade teacher, one incident in their whole career with us. But most generally with our percussion or with any studio type of teaching, you really becomes like a family.
Professor Irwin Mueller, who retired at the end of June after a 50-year teaching career at Ball State. Besides being the consummate gentleman, he's very modest. Dr. Mueller did not mention this, but he and wife Barbara contributed $1 million to Ball State for music scholarships. When we come back, how a former Marine found himself teaching music in Muncie.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think. Email us at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Professor Irwin Mueller walked out of his Ball State office last week for the last time, wrapping up a 50-year teaching career. We don't get to congratulate everybody who's retiring, but Dr. Mueller, actually he wouldn't let me call him that, it's Irwin, he said, is a beloved figure around campus, and it doesn't take long to see why.
If you get to know me, I'm a very positive guy. I don't think in negatives. I don't have, can't is out of here. I don't know anything about can't. So it doesn't pay to be negative. It doesn't pay to be negative, really. One of the things that someone mentioned when at our retirement party, that I try to find something good to say about a student every time they're in for a lesson. Now, sometimes the lessons are a little bit shaky, they're not doing exactly what they are. So I said, man, I really like that tie you've got on today.
Or, good job, you didn't drop the mallet.
Yeah, no, I never, nothing negative. Like this, I like your shoes, I like how you're dressing, you're looking good. But never anything negative, it doesn't work for me.
Where does that come from? Why are you like that?
You know, I really don't know. It just seems to me that's what I found works with dealing with people, and it works with me. I mean, when someone, if they want to correct you, you know, being in the Marine Corps, it's not quite that way.
I was going to say, did you do your basic at Paris Island?
Yes, I did. Yes, yeah.
So the drill instructors, they inspired.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that was really... No, I don't think they helped that because nothing was ever right. And
did they recognize that in you?
Oh, no.
Quit being so positive.
No. You don't talk. I mean, you don't. Yes, sir, no, sir, you know, ma'am. That didn't come from that.
What did you do in the Marines? What was your job?
Well, what did you end up doing?
Forward observer for naval gunfire. It's sort of like an artillery spotter. Well, for instance, we worked with the Iowa, the battleship Iowa.
16-inch guns, right?
So they would put...
Those are big guns, I guess is what I'm saying.
It's a, put you in a rubber boat, and then you had to you went in on a rubber boat, and then you set up what you're supposed to do, and you supported a company most generally. That's what I did. I was a radio operator.
You're a mild-mannered person. Does it surprise people when they find out you're a Marine Corps veteran?
Yeah, someone said that someone mentioned that, yes.
You were a musician,
yeah.
But it's not as if you were playing in the Marine Corps band or something like
well,
that.
Well, one of my friends, Ralph Legbunt, who taught clarinet here for a number of years, he was in a Marine Corps band in 1950. And so in the Marine Corps, everyone's FMF, Fleet Marine Force. Everyone, you carry a rifle. So they sent him to Korea, and he became a machine gunner, 50 caliber machine gunner. So whatever you're doing, the cook, everyone carries a rifle. That's the difference between the Marine Corps and the other services.
But tell me where this positive outlook on life came from. Is this your mom, your dad, something that was within you, something you saw or read?
I really don't know. I mean, it just seems to me that treating people in a negative way or bringing up negative things or you didn't do this right, just never has worked for me. And obviously leaves me with a bad taste when you're working with someone, you have to say, yeah, that's not right. But if you say, wait a minute, let's try it this way. What do you think about that? That seems to work for me.
Can you think of a time where looking at the positive side of things, like maybe you help turn somebody's attitude around or something like that?
The students don't, if they don't have a positive attitude, they sometimes think about other things. I mean, maybe I'll go to a different major. But I know attitude to me, when a student comes in to audition, attitude is everything. You know, if you've got the right attitude to learn, you're open-minded, you're willing to practice and work hard, sky's the limit. If you don't have that attitude, maybe you ought to check someplace else because I don't think you'll be happy here. As you probably know in your workplace too, one, maybe you don't have anybody like that, but one person in the workplace who has a negative attitude and just ruins the whole mix. And you sort of dread going to your work, so, oh, geez, I got to see that guy again. Or who? So that's one thing I just don't put up with in my life. I don't have to. luckily.
At schools across the country, again, more at the K-12 level, but they're facing these budget problems. Yes. And as a result of that, they're cutting back some programs in some cases.
I think it's really a disaster. I really do think so. It's difficult, I think, to measure what you get out of music. What I've read, employers many times are looking at people who have studied music, maybe not have made a career of it, but they've learned the discipline so they can use that particular structure in their lives and put it onto a different program. So that's what I've read, that employers are looking for people that have been musicians but not followed that for a career. So I think they're overlooking that. Seems to me sometimes the people who are making these decisions, they haven't studied it deep enough to see what the benefits of music in schools is. I really think that's the case. When you ask students who have left school and if they've been in a program, a music program, or in a choral program or any time, what do you remember of high school if you go back 10 years? They said, well, I was in a band and we had such a good time. They may have had some hard times too, but they remember that. I think the same thing with football, basketball. You talk to those guys, what do you remember? How about that math class? Well, let's see, math class. They'll remember, you remember that game when I caught that pass? Oh my golly, that was the highlight of my life. Those are the things that the kids remember. And I think the same thing in music.
Erwin Mueller, just retiring after a 50-year Ball State teaching career. He explains that he and wife Barbara are not leaving Muncie, though he will have time for one of his favorite hobbies, walking.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Visiting today with music professor Irwin Mueller, just retired from Ball State University after teaching for 50 years. He is 83 years old and looks 63, in good shape with an easy laugh.
I very seldom sit down. When I'm teaching, I never sit down. I'm standing all the time. And I go up the stairs, I force myself to park away from the place. I'm always parked at least a block or so away from parking. I go up and down the stairs several times. But anyway, it's just, I've been blessed with how it works out. I mean, I only take one aspirin a day. That's all I take.
That's the only meds you take?
Yeah.
How about that?
It's
bad. Because some people...
Yeah, well, that's true.
What's the secret to such good living?
I don't know. There is a secret. Good luck. Luck. It's true. It really is. I don't know. You know, some people just go through life and dodge things. And maybe I've been one of those people that can dodge things like that.
We should talk about Barbara, your wife,
yes,
who you've been married for 58 years, and for these past 50 years, she's been your...
Well, she's been everything to me. I mean, she's done it. She was a choral director in Indianapolis, Broad Ripple High School, and when she moved to Muncie, she started her own business, Stretch and Sew. She was in that business on McGalliard Road there, and she did that for, I think, 12 or 14 years, I can't remember. And then she's accompanied a lot of my students. So that's another thing. And they're playing these concertos. The piano part many times is just as difficult as the solo part.
You and Barbara are both musicians.
Yes.
Do you ever play together at home? Do you ever?
No, we don't. Nope. I think that's not such a good idea. No, well, I tell you.
See, I had this idyllic idea that you two would, after dinner, sit down.
Well, you know, I think if you're teaching, it doesn't work out too well, in my estimation, to try to teach someone in your family. Just doesn't seem to work.
Oh, I didn't mean teaching. I just meant, you know how some people will.
But I mean, when you're playing, then there's always that give and take, and sometimes...
You have to stay positive.
You have to stay positive. That's exactly right. Stay positive. You have to stay positive. That's true. That's true.
I want the listeners to, in some level, hear what you hear on a piece of music.
You know Arthur Fiedler? He played classical pops music. There's so much music out there in the classical field that is really a pops type of thing, whether it's Strauss waltzes or things like that. It doesn't always have to be something like a...
Ponderous or...
Yeah, a symphony or something. It could be... And so he focused on that and made his whole life of that. He did a wonderful job. A story about him, he went to school with three other composers and conductors, and they were talking, and one of them said, well, how are you going to program your concerts? And they said, well, I'll program what I like. And the other guy, Perkins, well, I'll program what the orchestra likes. And Fiedler said, well, I'm going to program what the audience likes.
Imagine that.
Can you believe it? You're selling a product. Oh, that's a unique concept. Yeah. You know, when you think about it, look what they do in athletics. They put these, go to football game, used to be football. Now they have these big screen that's tremendous. They're selling the product. And that's, I think, in music, we sometimes forget that, that we're selling a product to the audience and we ought to be concerned what they want to hear. And you have to be a little bit careful and help them understand what you're trying to do, maybe bring them along gradually what you ought to do.
Tell me about Night on Bald Mountain.
Well, I mean, it's, again, a story, and it's exciting. There's a lot of dynamics in it. There's brass, there's percussion, there's cymbals, things like that to be excitement to the audience.
And that's part of the role of percussion, to direct.
Yes. Well, I think the audience loves to hear. You know, when you think about people listening to 20 minutes of music without stop, that's a lot. So if you have something that's 8-10 minutes long where they can, then you're playing something completely different again. Because I know my attention span of 20 minutes, you're sitting like this.
How about Fanfare for the Common Man?
Wonderful. Yes, that's a wonderful piece, and that's a short piece. That was written in the 40s, and the Cincinnati Orchestra had a contest for fanfares during that Second World War. And that piece won the award. Yeah, that's a very good piece, yeah.
Also Sprach Zarathustra.
Yes. Well, when you think about that, you know, the sunrise with when that beginning of that piece, you know, he would be a millionaire over, many times over, if he got paid residuals from playing that. Can you believe? You hear that almost every day on the radio or television. They don't play the whole thing. They just played up to that first minute, 60 seconds of music, and then it's done. But
remember the movie that was in?
No, I don't.
2001, A Space Odyssey.
But the other one I was thinking of, what was the name? Oh, The Bolero. 10, the movie.
Yeah, Ravel.
Yes, Ravel. But the movie that was written, it's playing the, yes. And that's...
With Bo Derek?
Yes. I didn't see the movie, but I know the music.
Wait a minute. You don't remember the beautiful woman in the movie? Barbara will be glad to hear this. Well, tell me about the use of percussion in Bolero.
Well, the Bolero, of course, starts with the snare drum. It goes through for 12 minutes of music, the snare drum playing the same rhythm over for 12 minutes. You may say, oh, that's nothing to it. It's focusing to keep yourself focused for that long in a tempo and all. Very interesting.
Are you going to play after you retire?
No,
are you going
to be done? I'm done. Yeah, I think, to be truthful, as I said, I'm 83, and after a while it gets harder and harder to keep up your physical part of it, get your hands going fast enough and keep everything going as well as you'd like. And I've seen people who like to go on, keep playing and playing, and it sort of goes like this. I'm not doing that.
You have to know when it's... When it's
you have
time.
To know it's time. It's sort of like playing football or baseball, or saying, "Okay, I've done it, and I've done a job, and that's what I'll remember." I don't want to go out and say, "Geez, I wish he'd quit 10 years ago."
Got to be positive.
Got to be positive.
How about the quality of music that the public enjoys now? Do you ever listen to the radio? Do you ever?
We listen probably mostly to classical music. Some show tunes and things like that, opera.
How about Lady Gaga?
I don't do much with that. I was just listening to a band upstairs, and different strokes for different folks, you know.
Erwin Mueller retired from teaching last week. A great spirit, still teaching, I guess you would say, even when he's just talking about life. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you'd like more information or have a thought to share. And if you'd like, consider sending us a short audio clip telling us what's on your mind, what's going on for the summer, your favorite vacation story. Just use a smartphone or a digital recorder. Speak your piece and email the file to us at indianaweekend@gmail.com. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.